Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
720 WGN Radio. It's Iridian Fierro, and All Elite Wrestling is coming back to Chicago. So make sure that you include the show to your Thanksgiving plans, because AW Dynamite will be live from the Wintrust Arena on Wednesday, November 22nd. And joining me today, she's a former AEW Women's Champion from All Elite Wrestling, Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. Britt, how are you today?
I am great. Thank you so much for having me.
Super excited to chat with you. We have a segment here on WGN called What's Your Hustle on Your Money Matters. And callers will tell us what their job is, but also what their side hustle is. Oh. And I know that you not only are a full-time wrestler, a professional wrestler, but you are also a dentist. So since you've been with AEW, how have you been able to manage that, being a dentist and a professional wrestler? Do you think that one has kind of made the side hustle parts, or have you just been able to like kind of manage those well?
No. So as the more success that comes with professional wrestling, the harder it is to maintain a, I guess, normal dental career. It's not really possible just to become, with the nature of the fans, and the fans are really passionate and they want to meet you and they want to be able to take pictures and get autographs, and they will go to the lengths of showing up in my dental office, sending fan mail to dental office. I don't answer any fan mail that comes to the dental office, because it's just not the time or place. Send it to Daly's Place, All Elite Wrestling. But it's hard, because that's something they don't teach you in dental school, is how to balance fans coming into your practice, and it's sticky. It's there's some lines you don't want to cross. So I actually, for that reason, don't take any new patients. I only see my old patients that I know are like tried and true, there for their oral health. They know me, they trust me, I trust them, and it's better that way. Also, that way I don't have to have the full-time schedule anymore, because it's not possible to be at a high level, you know, one of the faces of the women's divisions, and also have it done. You have to be ready at all times. When opportunity arises, you got to be there to go. And if you have a full schedule of patients, it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. Oh, man. And you also have a great fashion sense. You are one of the best.
Do I?
Yes.
Really?
I don't know. Do people tell you this?
I don't know. I just feel like I'm always comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if it's swaggy too, that's cool.
Yeah. No, it definitely is. You are probably one of the best dressed wrestlers in AEW.
Wow.
And I know that translates directly to your gear. And recently you made a change to your gear. So talk to me a little bit about that change and what made you make that decision.
So I had that gear designed for months. And it just didn't make sense just to switch for no reason. Yeah. And there's a couple things that I was like kind of waiting for. If this happens, I'll switch. If that happens, I'll switch. And it just didn't happen. Yeah. And then when the opportunity came for Wembley, I was like, that's it. That's when I'm busting out this new gear. And it's totally different for me. I've never, my gear has been the same, shape design wise. So it was definitely an adjustment at first. And actually, it was more nerve wracking to have more of the pant leg, than not, because I was afraid that someone would like hook it and rip it down, and then like that's it. With the views come in, but my pride goes down. Yeah. So, but I love it. I'm gonna stick with it for a little bit, I think, and maybe I'll go back and forth, because I know it's not for everybody. Some people are haters, but hey, I like it.
Yeah. Something that you also have is amazing jackets. The rhinestones on the jackets. I'm here for the bling and the glitter. What made you kind of be like, all right, this is the kind of bling that I want. This is how I want to stand out with that gear.
It kind of just started when I was on the indies. I always really wanted a really cool jacket, but I was in dental school. I was broke. Yeah. I couldn't afford it. And then when I graduated, got my degree as a dentist, I was like, I want to wear a lab coat, which was cool for a second. But then when I was winning the belt, the thing about a lab coat is you can't put the belt around the lab coat. So I had to shorten up the jacket. And I was like, I wanted to still have the lapels of a dental, just as my little ode. Like, I don't think anyone's looking at my ring jackets now saying that's a dental jacket. Like, no, the gig is up. But I still wanted to keep that as part of my ode to my dental degree. And then it just started small. I would have some crystals here. And then I was like, no, I want more. And I've created a monster. It's such an expensive investment, but each jacket has to top the next. I don't know what I was thinking, but here we are, and I love it. The jackets are my favorite part of my gear, and it's so silly because they're on for like, what, a minute, and then you're taking it off. But for me, It's so important. It's part of your presentation. Like when you come out, all eyes are on you. You have like 90 seconds where it's all on you. Yeah. So you got to show out. You got to look your best. You got to look like a pro. And that's where I think my jackets really, they show out.
Yeah. And they really do. And Britt, you've been such a staple in the AEW women's roster. You were the first woman who was signed to the company. So that alone is just a big deal. What have been some moments for you in AEW that have really stood out? What are some highlights that you've had?
Man, so I think the whole pandemic era, as like that was such a, it was such a hard time, and it was such a time where we didn't know what was going to come next. We didn't know when we were going to get to have fans again. So all we really had was each other, and it was really, we were a big family, and the camaraderie around that time was so special. I'll always have a bond with the roster at that time. But then the first show coming out of the pandemic, the first time we had a full arena was Double or Nothing, and that's when I won the belt. So there were so many emotions. Just to be able to come out finally and do the DMD, and the whole crowd does it with me. And they're chanting DMD, and there's DMD signs. I hadn't seen that before. There were no DMD signs before the pandemic, believe it or not. So to win the belt, that was awesome. And I, of course, wrestling in Pittsburgh with the belt for the first time, that's will always be special. And it's just like these special moments just keep coming. Like every time I think, man, we're never going to top that, it's like coming out at Wembley and hearing the crowd when my music hit. I didn't know. I was like, I don't know how they're going to feel about me here in Wembley. Could be a mix, but it was so cool to hear the roar of the crowd and pyro, Super Bowl pyro shooting off the roof of Wembley. It was insane.
All right, Britt, it's time for you and me to paint the town red. Oh. I'm super excited to talk about this. Yeah. So AEW recently did this sort of music video to Doja Cat's Paint the Town Red, and it featured a lot of the women on the roster. You were in that music video. You are running through the halls, causing chaos. Talk to me about what that was like. What was it like backstage of that and behind the scenes?
Yeah, so it was very last minute. It was, and it was, everything was really hush-hush. We really didn't know much about it, and we knew the song, the artist.
That's it.
That was it. We didn't really know. And it was kind of, you know, we showed up that day and, and they would tell you're doing this, you're doing this, you're doing this. And we did it, and it was done. It was all done in a day. And I was kind of like, I wonder how this is going to turn out. Yeah. And then when I saw the video, they did it so fast. It was like a week, 2 weeks time. I was like, this is one of the coolest things I've ever done. This is a Doja Cat music video. But it was in an asylum, which was haunted. And I don't do ghosts.
Yeah, no, same.
I'm like, no. And like some of the crew there were like telling me stories, and I don't know if they're messing with me or what, but I was like, listen, don't tell me another thing or you're coming with me to the bathroom. You're coming with me here. I'm not walking by myself if you tell me another freaking ghost story about this place.
That is terrifying.
Yeah.
But it turned out so cool.
It was really cool.
The hot topic on Twitter.
I know. It was odd that it was something that I think finally everybody on Twitter liked.
Yes,
which
that
is
they could
weird.
Agree with.
Weird. Yeah, it feels like another language like that, but it was really special. I'm so happy I got to be a part of that.
So, speaking about Twitter and the internet loves to speculate, Britt, and there is a devil running around AEW, and they're attacking people backstage, causing mayhem. And the internet thinks it's you, Britt.
Right.
Why do they think it's you? I feel like the internet always tries to say, oh, it's Britt Baker.
It's always me. You know what? I'm at the point in my life, in my career now, if you heard it was me, if I said it, yes, I said it, I did it, whatever, I don't care. DMD, ghost dealers. I'm over it. But no, I don't know who the devil is. I'm very curious. I think it's cool. I'm all for causing ruckus as long as they don't mess with me. Don't mess with me, then we got a problem. But I don't know who the devil is.
So if you were to ever have a faction in AEW, who would be a part of your group and you would be running this?
So I would say if I had a faction in AEW and I wanted to run the women's division, I would have Tony Schiavone. I would have Reba, and I would have Jamie Hayter. I think that would probably work out and be successful. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, what we'd have to see.
I mean, you've done a little bit of that before, just now with the addition of Tony Schiavone, who is really an extension of everyone, right?
Yeah. Schiavone, I cannot say enough good things about that man. Probably, maybe, arguably had the most effect on my career than anybody, just because he was so instrumental in the promos. Yeah. And the promos is what really, where people really started to take interest in me and stuff really started clicking. And he was, I mean, he's half of the promo. He's right there, and he you know, just the help he would give me and the guidance and just knowing he was there. He was my safety net, knowing that Tony Schiavone is beside me. If this really falls apart, we're going to be okay because Schiavone's right beside me. He's not going to let me drown.
Yeah. That's amazing. I wanted to talk to you about how you handle criticism, especially now in a time where social media has really kind of given a voice to anyone and everyone.
Too many.
And wrestling is one of those sports that has such easy access to wrestlers, unlike any other sport.
Right.
With meet and greets, you guys are at comic cons and, you know, conventions. How do you handle criticism, not only on social media, but maybe someone in person at a meet and greet who's not so nice?
Believe it or not, that's never happened. I've never had a mean fan. I think the biggest altercation is like someone, they diss Pittsburgh or the Steelers or the Penguins, and then we got to throw down. Like, no. It's almost always the people on social media then with the egg as their picture. Oh,
with 3 followers.
Yeah. And it's hard. I mean, anyone who says that they don't look at that or that it doesn't bother them, they're lying. It sucks. And it cuts deep, and especially when you know you can't engage. You shouldn't engage. And everybody slips up. Every now and then you respond. You're like, why did I say anything? You can't, because that's what they want. But it's frustrating when you read stuff about yourself that isn't true, that people swear, oh, I heard it or I read it, so it must be true. But you can't do anything about it. There's some people that doesn't matter. They can be proven wrong 100 times. They're still going to believe what they want to believe. And that's okay. And you just need to be okay with it. Because at the end of the day, it's their opinion. Do you care? No. Do they sign your paycheck? No. That's it.
Yeah.
So
It's crazy. You know, just accessibility to wrestlers in general. I had a meet and greet with Johnny Gargano, and I did not know this about you. I'm in line. I'm wearing a Britt Baker t-shirt, and Johnny Gargano sees me. He points to the shirt and is like, I trained her.
He did.
And I was like, oh my goodness, that's amazing. I didn't know that. And he says, you're welcome.
Johnny and Candace, I started my basic training at Pittsburgh at IWC Wrestling, and then in the Northeast, AIW in Cleveland was like the place to be. That's where everyone was trying to get booked, and I wanted to get booked there, but I had no business being booked there. And in the Indies, you have to really stand out. You can't just do basic headlocks and clotheslines. No one's going to see you. No one's going to
pay attention.
Right. So that was really a school at the time that was teaching more flashy stuff and just another outlet to another platform. And the promoter, the owner, John Thorne, and Chandler Biggins, who's passed away, they helped me so much. I mean, just navigating the waters of indie wrestling and being a female, and it's hard. It's really, really hard. And I thank both IWC and AIW for everything they've ever done for me on the indies. And without indie wrestling, without those two promotions, there's no Dr. Britt Baker.
Yeah.
But Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae were the trainers at AIW, and that was my favorite part of the week. I would leave dental school I think it was Tuesday, Thursday. I would drive 2.5 hours to Cleveland, train, and drive 2.5 hours back. And it was, I was so excited. I was so pumped. It was the best. It was my favorite part of the week when I got to go to wrestling.
That's amazing. I love that. And something else that I love about you is now you are on TikTok.
It's so hard. I'm trying. I need time to get better at it, but I'm trying.
No, you're doing great.
Am I doing great?
Yeah, Book Talk is loving it. I know you just reviewed the Britney Spears book, which I haven't gotten yet, but now it's ordered because I saw you do it, and I'm like, oh my God, Brit's doing it. Now
I've read like 8 books in the last, you know, month or so. Like I really dove into the Colleen Hoover books because of Book Talk, and I was like, why is everyone talking about this? And then I did it, and I was like, okay, I get it. But TikTok's just such a crazy place where you don't know. One thing can take off and you don't know why. Like my TikTok videos that get the most views are the weird, like I'm just sitting in the dental chair. I'm like, what about this is entertaining? I don't know. It's such a weird place, but it's so addicting. When you start scrolling through TikTok, I'll have like puppies and then like a nachos recipe and then a skincare and then Doja Cat. And I watch it all. I'm scrolling. I'm still scrolling.
That algorithm really, it'll get you. I'm telling you. So with AEW coming to Chicago, what can our crowd expect to see when they go to the show?
I mean, the thing about Chicago is it's always kind of like a homecoming for us. So it's that, you know, that original, hey guys, we're back, we're here. It comes back full circle every time for me because of All In, the first All In. And we've grown so much since then. But it's, I don't know, I feel like it's kind of like a, like a measuring stick every time we come back to Chicago. Like, what have we done since the last time we've been here? And that's really special. It's cool that we have a city that we can kind of claim as that.
Yeah. Well, Britt, thank you so much for being here. I absolutely appreciate it. And if our listeners who don't know about Britt Baker want to know about Britt Baker, where can they follow you on social media?
I am at Real Britt Baker.
Real.
Britt with two T's. Baker, like it sounds. There's nothing funky about it. That's it.
Yeah. All right. So thank you guys for listening, and we appreciate it. I'm Meridian Fierro. We will talk more soon.